faith in destiny is all I need to prevail.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Ones and zeros. And the only way that you can make a computer more powerful is to expand the consciousness of the computer.
Well, it's something bigger than ourselves, and that's got to be said.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Gia.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is September 27, 2013. Friday edition of Truth Frequency for you right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. And I'm joined, of course, by my lovely chipmunk, twin flame co-host and wife, Cherie.
Good afternoon, everyone.
It's been a lot of reflection going on around here lately. And I think a lot of people will be happy with what they hear. So what a better way to start off this new journey, this new path that we're on, then with our next guest, lightonconspiracy.com, his website. And those are two of the things that we have to find the balance on, the light and the conspiracy. And the conspiracies are very real, and it's something that we should understand, and it's something that we should fully absorb. But again, if we don't have the consciousness aspect of it, then we're just falling into the trap of fear and just falling into the trap over and over again. Do you want to introduce the guest, Ray?
Sure. He has spent almost 30 years looking into assassinations and false flag operations on a global scale and how they are used again and again, almost as a template. He's found hardcore evidence linking the assassinations of JFK, John Lennon, Che Guevara, Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, the bombing of Orlando Letier, the Iran-Contra scandal, the Watergate break-in, and so many other big events. Ole Damogord, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for holding there for us while I let that out, because it was something that's been on my mind lately and something that I really owed the listeners. But let's get into lightonconspiracies.com. I love the name. How did you come up with the name?
It was actually my sweetheart who came up with it, because I really wanted to, just like you, focus on the light and not the darkness. But just like you, both of them are very real, and I wanted to find a combination, but with a name that lifted. It's very important for me that I don't spread fear, even though I speak about scary stuff, but that people feel enlightened and lifted afterwards, and with new hope and a stronger sense of themselves and a stronger feeling inside.
Oh, I totally.
So that was why.
I totally agree with you.
That was why we picked this name.
Beautiful, beautiful. I totally agree with you on that. And I think that's something that we've been lacking here lately that our regular listeners would definitely relate to. Now, false flags is something that I've looked into considerably, and you're right. It is a problem-reaction-solution formula. It's something that's used over and over again, but people just don't seem to open their eyes to it. And every time something happens, whether it be the shooting at the Navy Yard or the Boston bombing or Sandy Hoax, the agenda is the exact same. It's to take away some kind of civil liberty, but also the puppets are played out in the exact same way, and you follow the money trails back. It all leads to the same person, the same people, all leads to the same agenda. And it's almost the exact same script that they're playing, just in different ways. So how do you think we get people to realize what's going on with these false flags?
I mean, this is one of the reasons why I'm on so many radio shows, is just to reveal what is going on, to show in as clear a manner as possible to that it's happening again and again and again. And it's first when you start seeing how they're playing ping pong with our brains that you can start waking up and see, my God, what is going on? And by discovering what's going on, it's just like when you watch a magician. If he shows you a trick once, twice, three times, it's really interesting. But once you find out how he does it, that he's actually doing it with his left hand instead of his right hand, then it doesn't work anymore. And it's the same with these false flag operations, that as soon as you see how they do it, you won't be tricked anymore. So I put a lot of effort into trying to reveal how they do these things and how they get away with them, just because we're so asleep or so thick, or, I mean, there are other not so nice names to label that state of not awareness.
Definitely.
Now, look, for me, having spent so many years looking at this, it's really a massive mystery how people can be so asleep that they can, that the elite can get away with this on such a regular basis.
Well, yeah. Definitely. And it does carry spiritual implications as well. If you realize the perspective that the media tries to shove down your throat when it comes to these events, it makes you wary and scared of everyone around you. You're scared of your neighbor down the street who just happens to wear a turban. You're scared of the Indian guy down at the 7-Eleven. You're scared of everybody that doesn't look and act and go to the same church as you. You're scared to death. Whereas if you are awake to these events and you know what's going on, you see past all of the racism and the classicism and all of these boundaries, and see your fellow human being as just that, a fellow human being, instead of seeing them as a potential enemy.
This is exactly my point of view. It's like I've been to quite a few war zones and many so-called strange countries, strange in our opinion, but I've only found very, very beautiful people, some of them in very difficult situations. I mean, if they've been going through war and so on, some of them quite messed up because of all the violence they experienced. But generally, the guy in the street, he's just a beautiful person or woman or man that they want to beautiful, calm life with their friends and family. They want to put food on the table, have a party now and then, and just live in peace and harmony. That's the goal. And that's also the goal with most religions. But instead, due to this global elite that with a heart in Wall Street and where greed and war and destruction, that's the name of the game, they're the ones that are just tearing this whole beautiful planet apart and putting all these innocent people in the middle, becoming chess pieces, and not even knowing what game they're part of. So it's a very ugly game that is being played, and one that I do everything I can to expose so that the madness will stop.
Now, did you have an opportunity to look into this recent Navy Yard shooting? Because when we looked at it, we were getting a lot of conflicting information, but also information that not very many people have jumped upon. And I can't verify this information, of course, but from what I can tell, the information that hasn't been verified is that they were planning an arrest of Barack Obama, and that these were 13 elite military soldiers, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Personnel.
It was a specific group of people that were planning to make that arrest, and that's the 13 people that were killed in this Navy Yard shooting.
I haven't been able to get into that much details. It's hard to know nowadays because there's so much spread on the internet so fast, and you never know who's put it there. But all of these mass shootings, I mean, I'm not really sure if there's any one of them being a so-called natural thing. More or less all of them that I've looked into have been staged events or set up false flag operations or psyops. So this one as well, when I've just seen some photos of him running up and down in the corridors, but it's the same old story. The camera's always shut down when you actually are going to see what is happening. And I don't know, but to me it smells a long way.
Right, right. No, I'm right there.
I need to look into it a lot more before I say anything, but I have absolutely no faith in the official stories until they can really prove themselves. But I've hardly ever seen that.
Oh, I'm right there with you. It's not a matter of proving the event to be a false flag. It's a matter of proving the event to be real. That's what it's come down to, because there's been so many false flags that finding a real event is like finding the needle in the haystack. And I can't help but think back to the UK beheadings when they were showing that all over the television. Oh, this guy was beheaded. And we pointed out false flag, false flag, false flag, false flag. And then we started finding real beheadings. There was actually a beheading in New York that was by Muslims, but the mainstream media didn't touch it at all. And I've come to the conclusion that anything we see on the mainstream media are the false flags. Any real event, in the rare case that it is a real event, is never shown on television because they can't control the flow of information.
I just know the one in London. I don't know about the one in New York, but the one in London is one of my absolute favorites because it's so badly done. It's so incredibly badly done. In the old days, these false flag operations, they used to have a really good budget and maybe years of planning because they only did major big ones. But nowadays, it's just a real mess. I think they're so stressed for time. And it just gets really, really sloppy. And the one in London, I mean, I can go into detail. It was just so badly done. And it's also very important to understand that one thing is this problem reaction solution, but another major reason for these operations are also a diversion to get the public eye to look the other way, look in a different direction. And if you remember, the Bilderberg had their meeting just outside London, beginning of June this year.
That's right.
I think it was on the 5th or 6th of June. And this beheading was just like 10 days before. So, and this meeting, the Bilderberg meeting, it was the first time they couldn't get away with it. So they had actually invited media to come to the area, not to enter the building in any way, but to get into the area close to the Bilderberg meeting. But instead, due to this so-called beheading, then the whole media... this focus was over there, and all the discussions on TV and so on was about riots between Christians and Muslims and immigration laws, and that websites should be shut down because they were spreading hatred and so on. Instead of seeing what were they diverted away from, and that was actually the Bilderberg meeting, which was the real news, big time.
Right. Some big decisions were made at that meeting regarding the economy, regarding Syria and Iran. All kinds of decisions were made by unelected officials, mind you, about the state of the world.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I've been tracking down the Bilderberg group for I don't know how many years, and it's just... I think 2013 is just an amazingly beautiful year because there's such an awakening going on. I mean, I used to be looked upon as one of these guys with a tinfoil hat, but now suddenly there's this tidal wave of interest where people are just craving to find out more and more because, I mean, most people can see that something very strange is going on. They didn't used to do that, but... nowadays, it's so obvious with all of these things on such a regular, fast-paced basis that nobody can close their eyes to it anymore, I think.
Well, the UK one stuck out the most because there were people from the quote-unquote alternative media stepping in to quote-unquote debunk it. And what they did is – and I mean, I'm even led to believe that they were the ones behind this. But we pointed out several anomalies in it. I mean, we wrote article after article. We were right on top of it. And the mainstream media, TNT Magazine, several others, actually came out and attacked us by name. It's the first time that any mainstream media outlets have come and attacked us by name. But it did good for us because we got a mass amount of traffic and people were actually coming to our site and reading what was going on at the time. But somebody created a video, and I don't want to mention any names, but they created a video and they took two images of the beheader, and somebody made a fake video of the guy supposedly without blood on his hands. And so what they did, what this guy did is he took these two still shots of the one with blood and one without blood and said, well, see, this one's fake because of this reason and this one's real because of this reason. Well, as it turns out, the two still shots were from two completely different cameras. One was on the Sun and the other one's on ITV. But what these quote unquote debunkers did after that is they took that particular piece of information, which was a complete straw man. It was completely fabricated information. And they tried to debunk every single idea based upon debunking that fake video, which was more than apparently fake. I mean, we had to demand retractions from a lot of these news organizations because they were saying that we quoted from that video and that we were using that video as evidence that this was a false flag, which is not the case. We had 50 other proofs that this was not the that this was a false flag event. But it's amazing because the mainstream media even came out to debunk it. I mean, the alternative media even came out to debunk it. So it was a very, very bizarre situation.
Yeah, I can understand that, but it's like with most of these things, you don't have to be very intelligent sometimes to just see right away that something weird is going on. It's like when Bobby Kennedy was shot, and Sirhan had a revolver with 8 shots. When the proof shows that there was 13 shots fired, you don't have to be very clever to see that. Wait a second, maybe there was a second shooter because 8. And 13, it doesn't go together, you know. And it's the same with these things. Once you start looking into the evidence, for instance, this thing in London with the beheading, is it okay if I go into a little detail around that?
Oh, please. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes. Okay, for instance, the official story is that these two black guys comes driving down the road. They see this army guy in civilian clothes, but outside this army barrack. He has this t-shirt on where it says "Help for Heroes." So these people, these two guys from Nigeria, they're said to be, I think, gets really upset with him because of all the atrocities that has happened in their homeland. So they cross the street from, I mean, since there's left-hand driving in London, they cross across incoming traffic. They pass that and they get up all the way on the pavement, hit the guy, so that he falls over, and then officially they get out, chops off his head, and then pulls him out in the street, or they chop off the head in the street. Okay, that's the official story. And then afterwards, they go to the one of the guys go to the other street side of the street on the pavement, and he's filmed with a mobile camera, where he then says that I'm really sorry that your women had to see this, but you can't trust your leaders, and blah 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 blah. And then he walks across the street again. Then he stands together with his partner waiting for 25 minutes for the police to arrive, very calmly walking around discussing things with people in the street. And then the police finally arrives. They approach the police cars, and the police just jumps out and boom, 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 shoots them. First they're dead, then they're alive, then they're dead, and so on. But when you look at the evidence, it's like I worked as an extra for many commercials and background films, because when I moved to Spain, we didn't have money, so I took every job I could. So I'm really good and very experienced to walk in backgrounds. I can both sit and walk and chew chewing gums at the same time. And the thing is, when you have a staged film event, what you have is like you have extras, you have the actors, you have the makeup, you have the lighting, you have cameras and all of these things. And more or less always, the equipment is driven in big white trucks. I don't know why they're always white, but they are. And in these trucks, you got either clothing, or you got makeup, or you got lighting, or all of these things. Then you got at least one bus with the extras. And then when you mark up, for instance, for the background action, you put like marks in the street or on the asphalt. You say, I make this cross here. Okay, when I say background action, you walk from here and to over there, boop, boop, to that other cross. And then when I say, okay, we need to take it again, you go back to point one and you go back. When I say background action, you start walking towards point B. when you look at that scene, normally if somebody commits a violent crime, you would have people around him. Like if it's a really horrific crime, like a stabbing or something really awful, you will have people around there getting really furious, trying to throw rocks at the guy, hit him with a stick or string him up or get to him or something like that. In this case, the background is totally, it's like there's a distance of almost 50 to 100 meters to the closest one. And they're just standing around, picking their nose, having a cigarette, looking in a totally different direction. All the CCTV cameras are turned off. And this happens just outside the army barrack, where there would be hundreds of army friends for this soldier that has just been had his head chopped off. There's no one coming out from the army barracks. There are no traffic queues. There are no honking, you know, like when people are saying, burr, 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 nothing like that. No traffic at all. And why is there no traffic? If you look at the end of the road, there are some vehicles blocking it. And what vehicles are they? A white big truck. And behind that, a big bus. The truck for the equipment, the white or the bus for the extras, and then there's a cab. And in the other direction, if you look the other direction, they just closed off the street so that the traffic is passing around it. Okay, and then if you look on the asphalt, you can see exactly where this black guy walks. There's a cross from where he starts walking to where he goes again. And there are two different filmings. Just like you said, there are two films. There's one where he has no blood in his hands, and he's saying more or less exactly the same. You can put the two videos next to each other. There's one with blood on his hands. There's one without.
Well. Let me interject for just a second there. The one without the blood on the hands, in my opinion, anyways, in my research, I believe that that's fake. There's two different versions, one that was featured on ITV and one that was featured on The Sun. The Sun video was taken from somebody standing to the right of the person filming the ITV video. But I do believe that there was some red on his hands. Maybe the red was exaggerated in the final ones, but from the evidence that I've seen, and this is just my opinion again, but I believe that there was red on his hands and that the video without the blood was the altered video.
There are two different takes. If you put them next to each other, exactly next to each other, they're filmed from two different angles. Like there's half a meter angle difference.
Yes.
He's saying the same thing, but he's moving. His moves are not exactly the same. But the background action, you see the same woman coming walking with a shopping cart. I mean, we're talking about a guy here who's just chopped the head of a person who's still lying in the street. And this woman is on her way home from the shop and just saying, well, I'm just enjoying myself. And she passes right by this guy with a big axe type of thing.
The woman in blue, right?
The woman in the blue, but yes. There are two women in different, depending on how long the cut is you've seen. But the same background action, but the same different foreground action. So what you're looking at is take one and take two. And in between, he's had his hand covered in blood. If you look, there's no blood on his clothes. It's only his hands, and they're totally painted red or dripped like that. Nothing on the knives. In the second one, all covered in blood. And then,
well, I agree. I agree and disagree. And the parts that I disagree is that I think that it was the same scene that was being filmed, but it was being filmed from two different cameras. You have the bus, and then you have directly in front of the bus to the left. If you're standing at the bus door, you have the guy who's talking. And so you have one cameraman who's standing at the bus door and another one that's standing to his left. And so that's why you have two different scenes. But I analyzed those. I mean, I went frame by frame while I was analyzing this. And I find that they're both the same. They're both the same scene, but they're filmed with two different cameras.
Exactly.
Now, yeah.
We can discuss that, but I put them next to each other frame by frame and I disagree, but let's not argue about that one because there's another bus there. There's one bus shutting off the street in the top end, and then you got another bus where one of the guys is filming through the window to start with, and then he gets out. Yeah. Then you have this strange woman who's apparently, she said she jumped off a bus because she saw it happen, and then she walks over to this guy and starts to talk to them and persuade them to stop what they're doing. She lies down to the next to the beheaded body,
right,
where there's absolutely no blood, and there's no blood on the pavement,
and no blood on her
either.
Until
they do some aerial photos later, and then you got blood that they've added afterwards. Also, there's no skid marks, even though the car is totally crashed in the front, and it's supposed to crash into this signpost, but the signpost is absolutely okay. I've looked into it afterwards when they took away the car. Not a scratch, not a mark on this signpost.
Well, let me add something else also. There's two different shots of the car, aerial shots. One of them, the trunk is messed up. The other one, the trunk is not messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So figure. I mean, it's so obvious that this is not what it seems to be.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Can I
just say another one that I love is they interview a guy. He's quite a young guy, a witness with a t-shirt, a jacket, and a silver necklace. And they're interviewing this guy, and in the background you've got two police officers and a third one in a black uniform. Have you seen that one?
I have. The witnesses were definitely anomalies. That was a dead giveaway, was the witnesses. This was a crisis actor situation. And as a matter of fact, we set out to prove that crisis actors are real, even though the proof is all over the place. The military even has a crisis actor unit. Anyways, hold right there. We'll be right back. Quick top of the hour break. Much more on the other side. Fascinating conversation. I love getting into this.
For over 3,000 years, we've been in the background, controlling governments from behind the scenes and creating a new world order. However, we are losing the war, and we need your help. Join the Illuminati now. Travel the world injecting poor brown-skinned people with vaccines. Steal their oil and their gold. Or perhaps you'd like a job as a farmer, growing genetically modified corn, which we make into oil and sell it with no label. Or, if you've ever wanted to be a pilot, you could join our chemtrails project. You'd be in the air all the time then. Oh yes, it's time to join the Illuminati. Oh, and don't forget to like us on Facebook.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on, because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Hello, I'm Michael from Colorado, and at 68 years, I was feeling the sand run out of that hourglass. I understand that I create my own reality, but I wanted a jump start. Along comes RNA drops. Okay, I'll bite. Ascension by default. Right. So 4 months down the line, I find my genital herpes, the gift that keeps on giving, isn't showing up. I guess I didn't want it anymore. Now I'm getting out of bed without the joint pains. The night sweats are gone. The sore, red, cracked, and bleeding skin of my hands is becoming new again, and perhaps most welcome of all, the cares of life starting to disappear in that rear-view mirror. Whatever the RNA drops are doing, they are functioning like what I would describe as my personal alchemical adaptogen, opening channels of communication with my own non-physical. Find out what RNA drops will do for you. For a free mini bottle, you pay only shipping, go to michaelsrnadrops.com. That's michaelsrnadrops.com.
Broadcasting worldwide in complete defiance of the U.S. Patriot Act and the NDAA.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
To externally manipulate the body computer so it doesn't pick up these truth vibrations, these higher levels of awareness that are coming in so fast now.
It's all visible, like mind control techniques employed in mainstream media.
And by perpetuating that fear and maintaining that throughout every level of society, it becomes really difficult to actually break through to people, to actually get them to see that they can find this love and this high consciousness within themselves.
And this often helps a lot because some of the most elusive mysteries are not, you're not able to apprehend them directly. You can only apprehend them by negation as to finding out what they're not.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Geo.
Could you give me an example of some of the projects? Yes, I don't know what I would be good for. I mean, I can think of a few different things, but I'm just trying to get an idea of what would be the best audition for me.
Oh, you mean like what material to come audition with?
No. I mean, like what type of situations would you handle where you would need crisis actors? What type of roles would we be playing?
You know, I mean, I wouldn't get too hung up with that at this point. I mean, I think it's anything from, you know, the head of a school, a principal, a teacher, a parent, a student. I mean, it's all people.
So okay.
I don't think that there's any actor who is, you know, a good actor and, you know, of a certain level of work who wouldn't be, you know, appropriate for some part in a crisis actor situation. I mean, we're mostly looking for a level of talent and commitment and sort of, you know, training. And then, you know, we create scripts, scenarios, films. You know, we're doing some 3D interactive films and other things around the particular people we have. Plus, you know, there are obvious scenarios. I mean, there's tabletop exercises, which are groups of teachers. There might be the gym teacher and the, you know, the science teacher and the principal and the assistant principal. So it's kind of, I don't think worrying too much about type is really something that I would be hung up about. I would just say, you know, does this sound like an interesting project? And you're coming in to meet a group of directors and actors and producers where, you know, you want to just, that's why we're asking for everyone to bring in a Shakespeare verse and a contemporary piece, because we're really testing good actors,
And then
at that point, you become part of a community and a company, and we work on material together, and we develop the material together, so there would even be like, you know, we develop a script around who the people are that we have that are really good, you know, and so the most important thing to worry about is just doing two pieces that you think represent who you are and a little bit about your background. And then, you know, things about, like, casting yourself to type, I really wouldn't be concerned about it.
Don't worry about that. Okay. How do I audition? Yeah. What do I need to do from here?
Well, I'm sitting with the casting director right now. We're in the middle of finalizing the auditions for this week, and you know, our last round is this week for a while, and we have, I think there are some slots open. Friday is completely booked now, but I think we have some slots open on Saturday. Nathan, is there any slots open still on Saturday? We may have at our studio. What time do we have? A 1 o'clock open? No, not a 1 o'clock. 12:10, 12:40, and 12:50 are open.
Okay, excellent. Either one of those would work for me.
Okay, you want to take the 12:10?
Yes.
Okay, 12:10, and what's your name?
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones?
Yes, ma'am.
Have we ever met you before?
No, I've never been there before.
Okay.
It's a common name, though.
Chris Jones at some point. And then, so we're at 910 Arts, which is on in the Santa Fe Art District, 9th and Santa Fe, Studio 11.
Okay.
And you'd be auditioning for me, probably our choreographer. It's just a 3-minute audition, you know, one contemporary piece, one Shakespeare verse, and we may give you some cold reading material. And then, actually, the callbacks are on Saturday, so were you to be called back, you know, we'll ask some people to stay.
Okay, that's no problem.
We just got overbooked. Between last week and this week, we just had more actors than we had slots for, so, which is a good thing.
I can imagine. I don't think there's too much acting work in Denver.
I don't know about that. I think, how long have you been in Denver?
I've been in Denver about a year, actually a little bit less than a year. You can get that whole clip over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/truthfrequency. But that was an audition for a crisis actor role. So if you think that these are fake situations, if you think that crisis actors do not exist, well, there you go. I secured an audition as a crisis actor. And it's very real. You can go to crisisactors.org and audition yourself. So it's not very difficult to find. But ultimately, when we're talking about these false flags, we're talking about actors and we're talking about scripts that are written.
Right. And at the very least, even if some of the victims are real, they're not going to interview those victims on TV. They're going to interview the crisis actors, and that way they can control the information from beginning to middle to end. They have complete control over what is said in the mainstream media and what the official story is, and that way the official story never veers away from what they want to be said.
Exactly, exactly. Let's go back to Ole here. We're talking about the UK beheading, and Ole, there's a video on The Sun, and that's the longer video, and if you listen really closely to what's going on the bus, because the video starts out on the bus, the people are talking about witnessing a scene, and they're saying, oh, is it okay if we walk through the shoot? Why don't we go down to that restaurant and have something to eat after this? Is it okay if we film this? Or, you know, it's very bizarre, but they think, at least the people that are witnessing it, that they're watching a movie. They're watching a movie scene being filmed.
But this is what they are.
I agree with you.
I'm not even sure if they knew what it was going to be used for. But I must just say that it's amazing to listen to that thing you did with the crisis actor. That is absolutely gold worth. Super, super well done. But can I just say, if I go back to the one, this teenager that they were interviewing, in the background there are two police officers. There are actually three. There are two normal uniform, and then there's a one guy with a black uniform. It's a small guy. If you look at that guy, when he drops his hands down to his sides, suddenly you can see that the uniform is like three sizes too big. It's like the sleeves are 10 centimeters too long. This is what I'm saying. It's really clumsily made. And I think they were in England, especially, they were not very used to this type of thing. And they were very stressed for time due to the Bilderberg meeting coming up. And somebody just said, my God, we need to distract. We need to get the media to look somewhere else. So they put this together within, it seems like a few days, and just pumped it out there. But the thing is, sloppy or not, people were buying it big time to this day. I mean, you go there today, there are flowers all over the place, and people are crying for the victim. And so I don't even think that – I don't think anyone died there. I can almost swear that this whole guy – also the whole stage setting, when you listen to the script of the commentator, the TV guide, also it's so dramatic, everything, and the bad guys are dressed all in black. They're super black, and the hero, his name is even Rigby, the drummer Rigby. I mean, it reminds you of the Elmer Rigby song, and the little drummer, you know that story as well. And then you have this white guy. He's so white with almost red hair, and in a uniform with medals on. I mean, come on, it's really not very good, but it works until we wake up. That's the thing.
Did you notice that the quote unquote perpetrators were wearing very bulky jackets? And it's my analysis that underneath those jackets, they were wearing bulletproof vests because they knew that they were going to be shot at with blanks. I believe that the police used blanks in the whole shootout scene, but of course, blanks still hurt. They send off a little pellet or something like that. But at the very end, you can also see the police get a medical bag out of their car. And they open it up and they actually pull out blood packets and start smearing blood packets all over these guys after they're quote unquote shot. And the first thing that went through my mind is, wait a minute, when did the police start giving medical treatment to people? But it turned out that it was blood packets.
But this is the whole thing. You look at it from a different angle than the official one and you start seeing all these weird things, and they just doesn't add up. It just all of them shows that this is a fake thing. It's not real, but we are being pumped with it big time out in the media, just saying, this is it, this happened, be afraid, do this, do that, do whatever. But it's all fake. And when it comes to all of these mass shootings and terror acts and so on, most of them in now lately, earlier on there were actually events that really happened. And where people got hurt, but nowadays it's speeding up in a rate that I think very often it's not even, the victims are not even real. And I think one of the reasons for that is that when you kill someone, if you make one of these atrocities like in Oklahoma City or mass shootings where people actually die, especially children, from that time you will have their parents breathing down your neck. They will not back down until they found out what actually happened. And then that will create a massive problem. The more people you have killed, the more victims, the more family members and friends and so on you will have causing problems. So I think that is one of the reasons they started using actors.
Oh, you're spot on. Really, you are spot on about that. We're here in Colorado. We're about 5 miles away from Columbine. And right down the street from us is this Subway sandwich shop. And there was actually a shooting, a sniper shooting of these two teenagers from the Columbine shooting that wouldn't shut their mouths about what actually happened at Columbine. And the forensics report said that it was sniper bullets that hit them. There was a lot of cleanup after Columbine. There was a lot of cleanup after 9/11. There was a lot of cleanup after Oklahoma City of the victims' families, because you're absolutely right. They will not be quiet. And so that's why it's best to use actors and to use fake victims.
Yeah, I can only agree. You will see this cleanup. It's part of the whole conspiracy with the cleanup team. Not only clean up witnesses and so on, but right away after it has happened, while the media is busy looking at the patsy who has been prepared beforehand and all the evidence, fake evidence that is pointing that direction, there will be a cleanup team that enters the crime site, cleans up everything that points in the real direction. And instead, what they do is they plant this fake evidence pointing at whoever patsy they have prepared beforehand. So there's a lot of cleanup being done. Also, like I said, afterwards, where you start having, you need to take care of witnesses, journalists who don't give up, people who, like myself, who starts digging too deep in. They will be warned in different ways, or their reputation will be trashed, or they will be called pedophiles. Suddenly their computer will be found with 1,500 pictures of naked little children or whatever, or things like that, so that their reputation will be destroyed forever, or they will be beaten up, or if not, they will commit suicide in a strange way or be found in their bathtub with fully dressed or car accidents or whatever.
Right.
So there's a lot of different ways of cleaning up, but in the This elite group, they have a very brutal way of solving their problem.
Oh, definitely. And that's why you see coroners suddenly either dying or excusing themselves from working on the case, or they quit altogether, or they move out of the country. You see journalists being, you know, like you said, committing suicide all of a sudden in very strange ways, like shooting themselves in the head with a shotgun twice.
From the back?
Yeah, from the back. That it just things that don't even make sense happen just because they are so desperate to keep things under wraps. And that's why crisis actors sound like a much better deal for the government than anything else.
For sure. And I think one thing that is also really important to be aware of is that many of the people involved, there's this hidden network, a secret Freemasonry brotherhood that many different secret societies, but especially the Freemasonry network, which is not visible for the normal eye. But you have this, like very often in these strange cases, maybe once you start looking into it, that maybe the judge will be a Freemason, the attorney, the lawyer, the police who arrested the guy who was arrested, whoever, all of the key people in these places are very often Freemasons. And so this is also, I think, why they can get coroners to sign whatever kind of fake evidence or people in laboratories or chief of police or so on. It's very important to track these people down and see their background, because their loyalty is somewhere else than to the public.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And we see this time and time again. Sandy Hook is another perfect example of a false flag. In that situation, I don't think that there were any victims at all. The Boston Marathon, no. I think there might have been some injured parties, but the more I look into it, the more that I see that they actually cleared out the blast area before anything ever happened. So even that could be a situation where the victims are completely and totally fake. But the Sandy Hook situation, and I just get used to calling it Sandy Hoax. I can't call it Sandy Hook for some reason. They even burned the school. They demolished the school after the fact. That's it. They've demolished Sandy Hook. It's gone. I mean, how do you do that to a crime scene? Same thing that happened in 9/11, though. Giuliani ordered all the rubble to be shipped away immediately instead of analyzed. It's the same MO.
Okay, I can only say that I spent like 30 years more or less to look into many, many of these major cases. And it's first when you see what's happened down the line, when the pattern repeats itself, that you start really reacting. And for instance, like after JFK, you know, the Zapruder film that shows how the shots were fired and so on. Right after that, when the Zapruder film finally came out to the public, for the public to see it, they started moving around the light poles in Dealey Plaza, and also they changed these white lines on the street so that you couldn't really measure from the film to the exact position of where the shots were fired, according to where the light poles were standing and so on. And when Martin Luther King was shot, they blamed it on this patsy that he was supposed to be in this, small boarding house type of school hotel. But the real shots were fired from a bush area right in front of the Lorraine Motel. And the very next morning after the assassination, that whole area had been cleared by the street office, the local traffic office, had just cleared the whole bush area, cleaned it up, and they said that was to help the investigation.
Right, right.
It's like it repeats itself. You can see that. And if you take Oklahoma City, that in a different variation, but one of the reasons why they chose Oklahoma City, in my opinion, with Alfred Murray, that building, was that, for one thing, they use this problem-reaction-solution thing, and they secretly create a problem to get a reaction from the public so that they can move forward with their agenda, that we, the public, would just say, oh, my God, something needs to be done. And then they turn to me, who secretly put the bomb there, to say, please do something, and then I will push forward with my agenda. And that agenda is always cutting down on your civil liberties, more surveillance, more control, less guns for the population, and so on, more military-type force, policemen, and so on. But And one of the things they need to do with these problem reaction solution methods is that to get the most powerful reaction from the public, they need to go emotional. It's not enough to just use the use logic, because they need to go and do it emotionally so that people don't use their brain. That is why they always pick places where they would blow up children and women and so on. It doesn't work with old folks' homes or
oh well, Operation North
or anything like that. It needs to be children and women. And do you know that when they when the first bomb went off, after that, when people came in and started clearing up, I mean, there were wounded all over the place and children and women and dying in the rubble, and people came and ran to help them. Suddenly somebody said, there's secondary bombs. Move back, there's secondary bombs. And what happened was that while people were lying around dying, there were two vans coming that entered the area, and then there was a lot of people dressed in blue overalls who came in, and what they did was they went straight in and they started grabbing lots of documents from some of the files in the rubble. And once they got all of these files out of the way, the vans were loaded and off they went. Then everybody was and allowed back into the area. But meanwhile, people have been dying. But the thing was, these documents that was cleared out. Do you remember, you know, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton? Not very nice people, in my opinion, but extreme criminals. And they were involved in what was called the White River scandal.
Right.
Do you remember that? With a lot of real estate and fake, lots of fake things that resulted in quite a few suicides and so on.
Yeah.
And that thing was with the attorney in Mena, Arkansas, which was also one of the key points for the whole Nicaragua-Contra, Iran-Contra scandal, where Bill Clinton and his partner Dan Lasseter, together with George Bush Sr., were part of receiving all of these drugs coming from Nicaragua as payments from all of the weapons sent down there. Anyway, the attorney had the papers from this scandal that they were really looking into, and they were prepared to take Hillary and Bill to court with. But just before the Oklahoma City, these documents were moved from Mena, Arkansas to Oklahoma City to the Alfred Murray building. And that was what happened. That when just after the bomb blew off, this was the paper, the evidence that was cleaned out, cleaned away from the crime scene.
I didn't know that.
No, most people are not aware of that.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. I do know that there were several people involved in Oklahoma City, and all of a sudden then it turned to Tim McVeigh. And even until his execution, he still had the mentality that he was involved in a mission. This was for the greater good of America, and that he was part of the operation. And one of his last words was something to the effect of, "I'm glad the mission was completed."
I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. I think there are very many parallels between him and Oswald, how he was put there to infiltrate some of these groups, totally unaware of that he was being made into
a patsy,
organized into becoming a patsy. He had absolutely no idea. But when you look at the crime scene, it's once again, you just look at the crime scene with Farmer Brown logic, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't matter if somebody in a very nice robe and with a fancy title says 1 + 1 = 34. I'm not going to believe it because it's just not true.
But it's un-American if you don't.
Sorry?
It's un-American and unpatriotic to question your government.
Well, I'm not American. I was born with a brain, so I'm not going to go into that group. But
well, you know, here in America, the genetic engineers are actually working to make the babies born without a brain, so they'll be more complacent.
It's like,
not really, but you could believe it, though. I mean, the world that we've crafted, it's believable in this day and age.
It is such a weird time at the moment. I think it's an amazing time to be alive because so much awakening is going on, and at the same time, the madness is on a magnitude that we've never seen before. So, anyway, I can only shake my head because there's so many weird things going on, and that normal people cannot wake up and see and smell the coffee, that is for me a mystery. I don't get it.
I'm right there with you. It's amazing. And, you know, the responsibility has shifted now, in my opinion, onto the people. Because before you could claim ignorance, before this information wasn't available, all you had was the mainstream media propaganda. Now in this day and age, we have all this information at our fingertips. And so if people aren't ready to go and look for this information, then I can't blame anybody else except for them.
We all have a responsibility, you know, and the thing is that you can choose to close your eyes, but it's still, I mean, it's your karma. It's what you are creating for yourself. It's time to wake up. And I must say, if it's okay for me to approach people in uniform, the police and so on, please educate yourself. Find out who are you actually serving. You know, to this power elite, they don't give a shit about you. You're just an empty uniform to them that is part of filling their agenda. If they don't need you, they will just get rid of you. That you are not being told that you're doing some courageous freedom act for a poor people somewhere, but it's absolutely not true. You're being used as brutal enforcers for a small group of bankers and their greed.
Oh, I completely agree. Let's get more into the cops and the hitmen. That's what they've become, is hitmen. They're lawless, and that's it. But they're the most brainwashed, though. But I do agree with you. If we can reach them, then we win. We'll be right back.
For centuries, humans have been using substances to alter their state of mind, from caffeine, cigarettes, and alcohol, to more extreme drugs. But as the most commonly used illicit drug in North America, where does marijuana fit in, and how exactly does it affect your brain?
Is there anyone out there who still isn't clear about what doing drugs does? Okay, last time. This is drugs. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Hey, that sounds pretty good. That's him on drugs? Get him some more. Let's see what else he pumps out.
Any questions?
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
On your way through this hard venture, you will be confronted.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Right, and we are back, final half hour right here on Truth Frequency, and we're talking about patsies and mind control subjects and crisis actors and false flags and much, much more, the veil that is around many people out there. And I believe that the people that have the veil around them the most or are the most awake, it's definitely a polarized dichotomy. It is the police and the military, because I speak to a lot of former military who are some of them are committing suicide. It's so bad that they're waking up and realizing, oh my God, what am I a part of? The people that I speak to obviously haven't committed suicide because they're still around to speak to me, but they're some of the most awake people that I've met. On the flip side, you have the jackboot robots. And those are the ones that I'm really concerned about, because if we can reach those people, which is a very, very difficult task, but if we can reach those people, then we have a fighting chance, because it's those people that are going to turn their guns on us eventually when the gun grabs start. But if we can take it a step further, maybe it's not even them. It's UN quote-unquote peacekeeping troops. And as I've always said before, that if there's foreign troops on our soil, then that is an act of war, and every American has a duty to stand their ground and to fight any kind of tyranny, especially through a foreign army. Even if they are, what's the term that I'm looking for? If they are ordained, that's it. If they are ordained by the federal government to be here, they're still a foreign army on our soil. And I know a lot of these military guys, they're going to fight back, but they're making it harder and harder and harder. Ole, do you want to go into that?
I think it's really important to study history, and in this case, not the history of the United States, but other countries who have been in similar situation. And one of them, I know the parallels might seem quite brutal, but I think it's very, very true, is Nazi Germany, what happened during the Hitler regime. If you look at the parallels under the Obama regime and what's going on in your country at the moment, the extreme parallels also with the Iranian government under Khomeini, how he came to power, many similarities to how Obama did, and also how they used both the military and the police, and how, just like you say, you got very many soldiers and police officers waking up, but at the same time, you got the total extreme on the other side. And these people are very often, if you look in history, both Hitler and Khomeini and other, I would say, dictators, they have deliberately used unemployed, not too well-educated people that cannot handle this this feeling of power they get when they get in uniform, when you give them a badge, when you give them a gun, when you give them authority. They are the perfect ones to commit atrocities towards the own population. And I just want to say that it's not only soldiers and police, and so these are the obvious ones, but I think also everyone has to look in the mirror and see, ask themselves what they're doing, who they're serving, because this is often so compartmentalized, so it's very difficult to see what's going on. And also, most people are not aware of that, what their part is doing in the whole jigsaw thing. And I would say all of these contractors who have built all of these 800 FEMA camps in your countries, for electricians, construction, truck drivers, all of these people who have, I can understand if they've been really happy to get a new deal or a new job, or they've been able to pay their, for their school fees for their kids and so on. But history does not look with mild eyes on these things, because somewhere in your subconscious, when you have been constructing a FEMA camp, like it is a modern concentration camp, somewhere you must have been thinking, what the hell is this going to be used for? And I'm just saying to you, everyone who is still in a position where this can be turned around, wake up for this, for the name of God, inform yourself, find out what is going on, find out who you are serving, whose agenda it is, because this is the total madness in the whole thing. Is we're doing this to ourselves. It's the elite group who are so-called ruling the world. They're like a couple of thousand in maximum, and we are like 9 billion. So it's an absolute joke that this situation is like it is. It's only by us following and doing their thing, because this is also one of the reasons why they're trying to keep us down with fear all the time, fear of everyone, fear of your neighbor, fear of Muslims, fear of Russians, fear of everyone, to keep you down so that you don't understand how powerful you are once you start waking up. And that we are holding each other prisoners. It's absolute madness. And it only works as long as we allow it to happen. The day we stop, it will stop. They can't do anything. And I think there's so many beautiful examples nowadays when very brave people are using their mobile phones, and just when they're being stopped in roadblocks and stuff like that, just filming the guards and just knowing their rights and standing their ground. And it's amazing to watch that these people in uniform, they just like get really paralyzed. They don't, why are you not afraid? I'm an authority. I have the right to do this. No, you have not. You're here to protect us, not to terrorize us, not to bully us. You are the one who has to wake up. You in uniform. There is no honor in what you're doing. It is not okay. You have to wake up and stop it. We have to stop this, because, like I say, the day when you are not needed anymore, and check out history, Hitler did it, Ayatollah Khomeini did it, when he could not trust his army anymore, he just started chopping the heads of generals. New ones came up. After 6 months, he started becoming afraid of them, chop off their heads. And it's the same thing. You can see Obama is now starting to get rid of generals on a returning basis or whatever. This is the thing. It's a small group of so-called powerful people. Powerful because they have money, nice suits, and maybe a beautiful car, and they look nice on TV. That is not real power. And terrorizing people is not real power either. Real power comes from within, and it's by awakening that we can stand up. Not hit back, but not bend. Stand up, stand our ground, just like Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, all of these beautiful people. They have shown the way before. It is painful. It is scary, but it is possible. It is possible. So please inform yourself and be part of stopping this, because it is enough. We've had enough. We're tired. Let's make it a... It's enough. Let's have a beer and have a party, enjoy, and become friends instead. This madness has been going on too long. There's no excuse not to wake up anymore. It's like you say, it's so obvious. It is so obvious. So stop. Sorry, I get emotional because
I'm right there with you. No worries at all. Last May, during the UK beheading, we were receiving a lot of hate mail, because of our stance on the UK beheading. And we were wondering, where is this coming from? And we started looking and we noticed that there were mainstream media outlets calling us out by name. And we had to go and demand retractions and all that. But I set out at that point because people were writing us emails. How dare you say these events are staged? How dare you say they're actors? There's no such thing as crisis actors. So as I was looking into the crisis actor thing and I set up that audition, one of the things that she told me was that they're planning an event at the Denver International Airport. And so I picked up the phone, I called FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security, and I acted like I was one of the actors and I wanted to get more information about this event. And they let it out that there's an event planned for the Denver International Airport. So I did a little bit of research and I found that they were planning an event coming up at the Denver International Airport on a bioweapon that was released there, and they were looking to clear out the airport in this drill that they were performing. But every time they run a drill, it always goes live later on. These drills are just dry runs of what actually is going to happen. And so we've built here, or not we, the federal government has built underground bunkers pretty much throughout Denver, throughout the United States. I mean, in any facility that they can. And it's my analysis that they will commit this false flag attack at Denver. It'll be a bio attack. And the reason for that is so they can clear out the area and they can start bringing the elite and everybody into the underground bunkers. That's just something that I've been working on lately. But it looks like we're gearing up towards this huge event. And so I want to ask you, what do you think this huge event is that they've built all of these bunkers for, that they've built, that they've hoarded all this storable food? Oh, that's another thing I want to say for the audience as well. We actually covered a story that My Patriot Supply gave us that FEMA was preparing or looking to buy mass amounts of storable food. And we contacted FEMA. Again, we put that up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/truthfrequency. And we spoke to a FEMA insider who disclosed exactly what FEMA was planning. But of course, he had many different scenarios that he was planning for. And when he portrayed it to us, he said these were just what-if scenarios. They're not actually looking to make purchases or anything like that. Well, come to find out, they actually did make purchases. 14 million units to be shipped to FEMA Region 3, which is the D.C., Philadelphia area, and also 2 million units, which are to be shipped to Austin, Texas as well. So what do you think is in the works, Ole? Any thoughts on that? I mean, I know at this point we can only speculate, but if you don't mind speculating, please do.
It's hard for me to speculate without spreading fear, because I think what you're facing, what they're trying to do is scary stuff, I must say. And I have no idea. I know that this thing that you're talking about, that is going on right now. I think some of the preparations will finish tomorrow, and most of the other ones around the 1st of August, of October. But one of the things I would think that they're doing is, this is just wild speculations, but I think that one of the ways they would try to start filling the FEMA camps by using them as like aid stations or something like that. They will create a threat so that the population will say, oh my God, we need to go to a safe place. And that would be into the FEMA camps. And once in the FEMA camp, it's a one-way door. You go in, you don't get out. So I would very much recommend anyone to stay as far from these places as possible. Do not listen to any scary, frightening things. That, I mean, I can come up with scenarios like there's this lethal gas that has been leaked out with, you can't smell it, you can't see it, you can't anything. The only safe place is in the FEMA camp. We've got all the safety equipment here. Please come. Mm-hmm. That is a big warning call. Do not go there. Do not take any vaccines or any kind of antidote type of thing, anything like that. Stay away from these places. And once again, to the people who are working there, shame on you. You are soiling your soul. It is the karma you're creating for yourself. It's incredible. So I beg to God that these are things that will not happen.
Well, it's already happening. I fully believe that. I see it evident in Texas, for instance. They already have FEMA camps, essentially, that are already open, and it's called the Don Hutto facility. And they are keeping entire families of illegal aliens there, illegal immigrants. And they're keeping children in a prison, and it has everything that a school would have. It has the playground equipment and all of the things that they need, except for freedom. There is a huge fence with barbed wire around it. There's no getting out of there. There's no there's no oversight either. If journalists want to come in and actually see what they're doing to these people, they can't. So the framework is already in place. Also, the U.S. Army put out a document several years ago about the civilian inmate labor program. And so it that is another red flag for me. Just the fact that these facilities are being built, I don't care what they're being built for, because, you know, even the Nazis at one point said that they were building all of these concentration camps for immigration. They blamed it on immigration and said that they were going to keep illegal immigrants in these camps and that everything was fine. You know, go back to sleep. Everything's fine. And turns out, no, they were shuttling people of all kinds of minority races and minority sexual orientations to these camps. And also another thing that I wanted to bring up was that they're not just going to give you vaccines in regular shot form anymore. They're developing vaccines that they can give to you through aerosol, through nanoparticles. And that concerns me greatly because all it would take would be a chemtrail spray with this so-called vaccine. And you've got hundreds of thousands of people sick in any given area. And if you have hundreds of thousands of people sick and you tell them the cure is in these FEMA camps, you'd be amazed at how many people will show up at these camps to get the vaccine or to get the antidote to something that they're suffering horribly from, especially if it's something like, let's just say it's MERS, the new coronavirus in the Middle East. They've been talking about that a lot lately, how they're going to restrict travel of people that have been exposed to this and how they're going to quarantine entire towns that are exposed to this. It's very, very disconcerting to me that they're even talking about these kinds of things when we have something called the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment. We have all of these rights that we supposedly have. And they're saying, nope, in the event of some kind of biological disaster, you don't have any rights anymore. That does not apply.
Well, if you look at some of the presidential directives, and I don't remember the one off the top of my head, but it basically says I think PD 51 authorized the FEMA camps. I think there was another one. It could be in PD 51. But basically, it says that in the event of any disaster at all, period, any crisis, that the president can declare martial law and that it cannot be reviewed by Congress for 6 months. Now, it doesn't define where this crisis is, what type of crisis it is. I mean, it could be somebody slipping and falling down on the other side of the world, and they can consider that a crisis and martial law and FEMA camps. So the legislation is already in place.
I just say study history. What you experience, in my opinion, is the Fourth Reich, not the Third Reich under Hitler, but the Fourth Reich. It's the same elite group that has been working over generations on concentrating the power to fewer and fewer people. And their agenda has all the time been the same, and that is a one-world fascist state, a one-world government, a one-world digital currency, a one-world army that is not there to protect the population but to control it. And when you look at that and you start seeing that the so-called people in power, like the president and so on, are deeply, deeply, deeply criminal people on a scale that is unbelievable. That's why it's so hard to understand it, because it's on such a massive scale. Then you will also start seeing what is going on, and that is not a pretty picture. And study how the Nazis did it and see what's going on now, just in a more high-tech fashion. So these concentration camps and how they prepare for them, look at it. It's the first stages. You can just study the Second World War, see what happened, and you will see the following steps if it's not being stopped.
Well, we're right there here in the United States. How is the situation in Europe? I know that you're in Spain. How is the police state situation there? I know in the UK it's pretty radical.
The England is very radical. It's getting more and more. It's creeping in everywhere with surveillance and so on. But here in I think they have different testing grounds. You know, like in Sweden, they test out things. They test out microchips and moneyless society without the cash money. They go digital because they just test these things out in different countries depending on what mentality is there. Like in Sweden, the Swedes don't, if they get really, really upset, they have like a sticker on the rear bumper saying, "I'm very angry." You know, that's about it. So they can test out and see, whoop, 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 no, that it works here, or no, it doesn't. And once it's approved in Sweden with these softer versions, then they go to the next stages. Exactly the same with the banks in Cyprus, where they just locked down the bank accounts. They had army ships surrounding the island, you know, just checking, how's it going? Are we going to have any riots? Are we going to, if we succeed here, then we can just move on and so on. But in the States is a totally different match game, because there's so many weapons in the States and people who are ready to use them. So that is the major problem, that they need to get the weapons away from the population. As soon as the weapons are away, boom, they will just take over and do whatever they want. So they have to be careful in your area. But I think once, if the States fall, then the rest of the world, the Western world, it's so easy for them to take over.
Well, we are coming up right now to the end of a drill that is ending, or a training session that is ending right now. Yeah, October 1st, where they have UN peacekeeping troops here learning English and also learning to use American weapon systems. It's not looking good.
I can just say, you have also to inform yourself, look into who created the United Nations, who created it, the same power elite. It has fancy names, and they're doing a lot in some areas to unite the nations, but in a lot of different things they're really, really using, especially the UN troops, as a big power enforcer in different areas of the world. And also NATO is also one of their creations. So these two you have to really watch out for. And to bring, I think it's 380,000 foreign troops into the States, I mean, that is absolutely unheard of. But what they do, I think that one of the reasons they do that is, for instance, I think the chemtrails planes here in Spain are I would guess that the pilots, if there are pilots, that they're from Ukraine or Lithuania or whatever it's called, one of these countries far away, so that there's no empathy for the population. And then maybe Spanish pilots are flying in Russia and so on. So they bring in foreign troops, maybe from Israel or Mongolia or wherever, you name it, so that there's not this compassion for the local population. There are no friends, there are no families, there are no... That, I think, is the reasons why they bring in foreigners.
The planes in Spain spray chemtrails in the rain.
Uh-huh.
Sheree was just watching My Fair Lady.
It's really sad.
I watch musicals when I'm not feeling well, so I was watching My Fair Lady, I was watching Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, all of the old musicals. I just love to watch them when I'm not feeling well, and they usually just lift my spirits so much, and I sing along with them too. I bet I was driving Chris nuts, but
Ole, tell us about your website one more time and any upcoming work. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I just want to say also, if you like musicals, look at The Wizard of Oz. That is exactly, it's so symbolic of what is going on, that it's only a small old guy behind the curtains with a massive microphone and an amplifier who's trying to terrify us, saying, you should be afraid, you should be afraid. But look at him and take your power back. My website is www.lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com. And my book is Coup d'etat in slow motion. That is Coup d'etat in slow motion. And also, I just want to finish with a prayer. I've got a beautiful, beautiful yoga teacher, Raja Yoga. It's not yoga for the body. I'm stiff like a log, but for the mind. And this prayer goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light. And I strongly feel that the people who are doing it, they're victims themselves in a weird way by not knowing what is actually going on. But it's time for all of us to wake up and stop this and turn this world into this beautiful, beautiful world that it's designed to be. We are the ones who have to wake up. We are the ones who have to do this. And it's a 2013. It's a beautiful year to be alive and to be able to take part of this.
It is. Thank you so much for your time. We look forward to having you back on the broadcast. It was a fantastic show, right in line with a lot of my ideas and a lot of the research that I've done. And stick around. Change the Channel is up next. Now, we are premiering a new show right after Change the Channel. Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton, Truth Stream Media. So be sure to stick around for that. And we're also doing Hangar 18 again on Saturday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time. That's the KTFRN Roundtable. Kiss the one you love right now. You never know when the last time is going to be. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same channel, and on Sunday as well. Love you guys.
See you tomorrow, guys. Love you.
With soldiers amongst the vultures, now you're under control. Could you do what they told you? The front lines now, we're living the battle.